Let's begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, June 23rd, 2014, and it's 6:03 in the evening. Would you please take a moment, review the minutes of the June 9th Finance meeting, and let me know if they meet with your approval.
I'm good with it.
Okay. All right, then the first order of business will be the FGM Architect Interior Classroom Presentation. I wanted to bring in Ron Richardson. Everybody knows Ron, and Ron will be giving this evening's presentation regarding this particular subject. So, Ron?
Everyone except Catherine.
Everyone except FGM Architects.
There you go.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We hardly ever see Ron.
Every other month. Can I get the lights, or would anybody fall asleep?
No.
Okay. All right.
Did you say yes to that?
All right. Okay. So Bob tells me I have about 20 minutes, so I'm going to scroll through these fairly quickly. Feel free to ask questions, and I'll, you know, hover and go back to if you'd like. But this is meant to be just an update, basically, on what you saw basically late last fall. I think that was the last design presentation that you saw. You've seen little subsequent, maybe informal updates, but for the most part, it's been a while since you've seen the designs. We had some updated interior renderings too. So basically, I talk about design and schedule. All right, let's start with an overview of the process. I don't know if you remember this, the little color diagrams, but it basically broke down the project, the entire project into various phases, and it's all color coded. So you're going to see this color-coded sequencing applied to each site to give you, again, a snapshot of where we're at in the overall process. All right, we'll start with Franklin. And basically, as most of you know, we're in construction. That's our current phase. This is a diagram of the actual construction document showing the configuration of the addition in the context of the existing school. Here's our stormwater detention, existing stormwater that we're tying into. If you look closely, it's all engineered, it's all on here. But I'm not going to get into that level of detail. And things are moving well. We were just there this afternoon at the construction meeting, and we were making some great progress. All right, here is a quick diagram of how the final classroom configurations went up to bid and are being constructed. Again, this is nothing new. This is just a formalized configuration of the classroom spaces. And those are the outdoor classroom spaces. Since we're somewhat below grade, and cutting these classrooms into the hillside, I thought I'd show those little spaces because that's a feature of this particular site. Again, you see these diagrams, but again, not a whole lot has changed. It was a very successful PBL, by the way. This is the garden that the kids studied over there at Franklin. We had a great time, and that was a lot of fun. All right, so Lincoln, again, this is, we're in the construction phase of this particular project. Here is a diagram of the final four construction configuration of the classrooms. And for discussion's sake, this is the north area and the south area, because I couldn't get all of them on one slide, so you can see north and south in large plans. Here is that stormwater configuration that's right in between. This graphically shows this pretty well, how the stormwater is accommodated. And then there's an outdoor classroom that will go over the top of that. Again, north classroom configuration, simple. This here are the two classrooms, and then we did carve out a little bit of mechanical storage space over here in the corner. And then this is the southern section. These are the classroom configurations. And I lift this one up. This is an existing classroom. We're to a certain degree remodeling that. But nothing substantial. It's probably a medium remodel. We added a doorway here, and this is going to be used when the kids come in for school in fall. It's going to be used as a temporary exit during construction.
I can't remember. Are those two sections connected? I couldn't remember. Are they? No, they're not.
Not physically, right. They're two different additions.
Right, okay.
Two
individual. Yeah.
All right, again, renderings. I went by this morning. The molds are gone. They're in the process of modifying that that west elevation of the school with windows. So things are progressing. It'll be interesting to see how close this is to the actual. I can't wait to see. This time next year we'll find out. Forest Glen. Forest Glen, now you're going to see a split between site work and building construction. And site work is physically under construction as we speak. And the building construction documents, we have finished construction documents. We're in the process of moving to the bidding phase for the building portion. That's the sort of the phase two bidding cycle. So this just puts it in the context, the phasing of the context graphically. And this is the portion that's actually under construction. That's the stormwater detention at the southwest corner of the site. And there's the building. It's lit up in green. And again, the construction documents are finished. Here are the four classrooms. This is very simple. It's 2 and 2. But we were able to carve out some storage space here. And this is a little mechanical space. And this red line right here reflects the existing wall. So you can see how this addition fits in relation to the existing wall.
Ron, when you show the site plan, would you show them where the portables will be relocated to?
Yeah, the portables, this is a finished diagram. The portables will be located right over here in this section, and they're 40 feet from this property line. So they're right on top of that utility line right here. Does that help?
Yes.
Again, these renderings, I don't believe you have seen these. These have been updated. These were submitted for the ARC design. Sorry,
you're
right in front of
me. No, you're good.
The ARC submittal that was just sent in a week and a half ago to the village for design review. This is what was included.
That's the architectural review committee?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, we have a meeting with them July 9th and another in the third week of July to appear before their. The ARC as well as the village board for ultimate approval.
That's tentative, unless you've heard.
Tentative, no. Okay. I sent out a confirming email this afternoon.
This is the outdoor classroom space. Again, yet another sidebar. We didn't study that as another PBL in the fall. Here's another rendering. This is from the southwest forest corner. Now this is new. This was done. This is an interior rendering showing the color selections. We did this to model it for final color approval. And we also ended up, since the last thing we saw, we reconfigured the carpet. The carpet is going under the marker boards in each classroom. That's typical at all sites. Originally we had the carpeting on the outside window. And now it's going under the marker boards so that the kids can cluster around that marker board. And so here's the open space. This is what you have been seeing. And here it is with the wall closed to give you that context. Because the wall panel is closed, and this is the way it's going to be used for most of the time. That's a rideable surface, too. Mm-hmm. So the kids can ride on that wall. It's a marker board surface. All the cabinetry is mobile. This unit is mobile. The sink is fixed, but for the most part, the cabinetry is mobile. And then this shows a view looking back out towards the south of the addition. The stormwater is out here outside these doors. But I wanted to note, too, again, to highlight the fact that these ceilings are around anywhere approximately 12 feet tall. It's similar to the Hadley configuration, so it's a much there's a lot more volume in the space. It's going to feel like a much larger classroom, but the classrooms run from maybe 889 to 920. Given, in terms of total square footage, but it's going to seem like a much larger space because of this high ceiling. With the one anomaly being with Franklin, because we have the offset roof systems, one area is around 11 feet and the other one is 13.6. But the other sites are all right at 12 feet. Yes.
What does that do, if anything, to sound?
It's designed acoustically so that the sound will bounce above it. So if anything, it's going to be enhanced the acoustics.
It's got plank ceiling that we put in the cabin, same type.
In like the in the LMC.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, this really shows the part of the configuration. All right. Now Churchill. Again, following in a very similar track, all identically to Forest Glen. Again. Site construction is underway, which is a big effort. And building construction, the documents are finished, and we're putting the finishing touches on the site plan because that was the last piece that we needed to finish. And here it is. This is a quick site diagram because there has been so many discussions at Hadley. I wanted to give you quite a little snapshot update of where we're at.
So many discussions at Hadley.
Churchill.
Churchill.
It is Churchill.
Happy Churchill. That's Freudian. We need to talk about it. And just for orientation, north, because of the way the site is configured, north is to the right on this diagram. This is Geneva Road, and this is Bloomingdale Road. Okay, so what I've lit up on this is this large stormwater detention basin, which again is designed to receive stormwater from the building and to accommodate what was in the basin. You know, so everything is now underground. So it's a fairly large configuration. This is the temporary haul road that's being installed by Quinn and is in the process of being constructed right now. This is the playground, which they're going to install this fall. And this will then become the new hard surface once the addition is built. This will be the permanent playground configuration. This pink line, this pink roadway right here is a possible link to Bloomingdale Road, but that's all it is right now. It's an idea, and we don't know where that's going to go, but in order to keep the process moving, we had to show it graphically here, and we'll continue to monitor that based on the core controllers.
I'm trying to get my bearings here. Where's the portables at now?
Right, those red boxes okay. on the portables.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason we showed... Well, I don't know about the reason, but you know, we were getting pretty aggressive on a move towards getting access to Bloomingdale Road,
mm-hmm.
and then the Army Corps of Engineers stepped in because we have some wetlands issues back there. We got received some communication from them late last week. It's on to our engineers and architects for further study, and a final determination has not been made by the Army Corps. So that's where we sit right now.
If it's wet or not?
Well, we know it's wet now. They're trying to study in terms of different approaches or alternatives.
The mitigation process.
Right.
To make it go away.
Correct.
So that's called a lawnmower.
So, again, a lot of moving pieces on this particular site, but this sort of captures all of the hot buttons. There will be the stormwater. This is the proposed addition that won't start until the spring. There'll be the plan currently is to start that work in the spring of 2015, the building construction and the playground. So, and then when that construction starts, this playground will be accessed by the school, and this whole zone right here will be available to the. To the kids. The two of the three existing playgrounds, this hard surface and the mobiles are all accessible to the kids during construction. And the contractor will either have to have access over here on the east or over here on the west. Depends on how the kids fall. So mobile classrooms, the plan is to demolish this existing cluster on the north side. The current plan is designed around it, so we're not disturbing it during construction. That would be one of the last things we do is to remove the mobile and then restore the site, whether it's lawn or hard paving. We'll work that out with Scott, I suppose.
And this is that four-pack there on the north end there. They're about as in poor a condition as the ones we're thinking, so it'll be a good thing. These were scheduled to be removed, were scheduled to be replaced, so it's a good thing when we finish this project, we're just going to demolish those as we did it like it.
And the front ones?
Front ones, no plan to relocate those at this time. They'll stay. But we would certainly like to be able to recapture that parking lot area eventually.
Hey, Bob?
Yes?
You said that they're going to demolish the portables?
Just like we did at Lincoln.
They owned them, or were they?
We owned them.
So they were ours to demolish.
They are ours to demolish, as Lincoln was.
Okay.
That's also going to be a complex process because you know this access is tight. You know, after we're finished, so we'll continue to slug through this. All right, and this is probably the largest of the four additions, only because we had to recreate space in the addition to compensate for what we took away in the existing building to get proper access. So, again, the four classroom cluster here. This yellow space is the art room. The green spaces are the restrooms, and then there's a storage space here. Janitor's closet, but this one also has a sewage injector. going into it, because we got complicated infrastructure issues. So we're going to be pumping and injecting the sewage into another injector that's in the boiler room. So that was a complicated engineering piece. But that's just the way we have to operate.
We've done those before?
Yeah, you currently have a lifting station in the building.
In a basement.
It's a conveyance system. It's a long-term maintenance issue, but those are the rim and inverse that you have. These are updated renderings that do a pretty good job of showing you what's coming in terms of architecture. And you can see the equipment screens that are on top. That's a requirement from the village. But it will look nice, but...
What are they?
Equipment screen enclosures.
Over the
HVAC.
Air conditioning.
Oh.
You know, the irony here is that if you're staying on Geneva Road and looking out over the school, you see 37 rooftop cooling units. But now you won't see these on the addition because we're in conformance. And then that's a better shot of those enclosures that are around the rooftop units.
And that would be on the west looking east.
Right. We're looking to the northeast.
Is that proportionate green space? I mean, are we pretty much in proportion with that? But that's a lot of green space.
Well, if you know, the thing is that this could be green or it could be paved. That was where we talked about with Scott. Once we take the mobiles out,
yeah,
this could go to hard surface. It could do any number of things, but this is where we left it. This point. And remember that this is the link for the future expansion.
Yeah.
This wing.
It would be that bar. You know, right. We would ever go again with construction again, we would just build out of that bar.
Minutes, Bob.
I have a 10-second question. This is just it's a language. But when you talked about the bidding for Forest Glen and Churchill, you called it bidding phase two. And because we're calling phase two the larger next step, I'm wondering if we make sure we just call that, you know, part two, or well, I don't know, whatever language is, but just a...
Yeah. Phase two is what we're going to do with,
just for word clarity.
Exactly.
Yes, for clarity.
So, I mean, I think current phase, future phase is fine, but when we talk about bidding, I don't know, I would call that something different than bidding phase two.
Phase one, part B.
Or B.
Yeah.
Part B.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Part B. Yeah. Part B.
It's building construction, right? That's the other part, was doing site work.
Yeah.
So, those are the two parts.
Any questions?
I'm just going to raise one as a newbie here. What's the depth on this? And are you going to be able to set it up there? Mm-hmm. I mean, can somebody actually mark on that board? And
these are all mobile.
Everything
in all four buildings, the only piece of fixed cabinetry is the sink.
I see.
In the wall cabinet, so the teacher can move all this away to use that as a teaching wall.
Okay.
So we've got three locations where the teacher can teach.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, then I don't know if this is a question for you or Paul, but have we figured out what we're going to do with those spaces yet? Are we just taking... The classrooms that are in the portable and just let them out and put them in there?
There was a very detailed diagram back in on November 22nd that Lori and Karen had put together that showed that diagram. If you go back to that presentation, you might even have it on your server, that showed how they were planning on using it.
Okay.
It was not, I don't believe it was a one-for-one.
Okay.
In other words, you know, if we're taking the mobiles out, those classrooms...
Right. I remember that. Yeah, that is.
We do intend to remove that four-pack of four
back
when construction is...
Yeah, I didn't know if fourth grade is in board.
Oh, no. I can't tell you. I can't tell you which grades or which rooms, which classrooms are going in there, but it is essentially a one-for-one replacement in terms of what we have now.
Yeah.
And you did have the music room in there in Churchill, too. I noticed on the right-hand side, so that other new space.
That'll be cleaned up a bit, too, before...
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that becomes one large music room.
Any other questions?
Glad to hear it's all moving along.
On budget, on schedule?
I think that, you know, I think Jack just talked about the budget.
It's
tracking.
But just to give you an update, we did meet again this afternoon. This weather has put us a little bit behind, and we're having problems getting in and out of Churchill because that is always a wet area. They said we were about 3 days behind in terms of where we expected to be. So if we get a break in the weather, they expect to catch up.
But the practical reality, too, is that this is going in through December. So we're just trying to get as much as we can, button it up, and make it out of the way of the school.
Right. So we should turn the ground back over to this school on August 15th. So we pretty much have interior work like that.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Okay.
Thanks for the update.
Any further questions, Ed?
Thanks, Ron.
Sure. Then the next order of business this evening will be the Internet Content Filter Refresh, and for that we have Mike Wood with us this evening.
Yeah, we spent the last several weeks researching, investigating other solutions for a content filter. There were many out there. We arrived at these five. We contacted the vendor, got pricing, demonstrations of the product, I've seen the differences and the advantages of these products over the current system that we have. So Voxer's one, SIPA filter, Barracuda, Securely, and Smoothwall.
Is one of those our existing mic?
No.
Okay.
Currently we use SoPulse's product, and that was not included in our search. We already pretty much know what that can't do. So the key priorities we were looking for when we were looking to refresh this device. First was a more advanced approach, more aggressive approach to dealing with adult content on the internet. So currently, our current filter really just uses a database of URLs to block. And these URLs are updated daily, several times a day, but with the aggressive expansion of the web, it's really almost impossible to keep up with that. So when we're looking at some of these other content filters, we're looking at, well, what else do they offer to be able to detect this kind of content before it becomes available? And a couple of them will use what's called content-aware filtering, which is basically a series of algorithms that run against every page, looking for that kind of content and also the kind of context that content is being used in. So it doesn't block basically or strictly based on a domain name or a URL. So if I were to go to Facebook, it might let me to go to Facebook. But as soon as it hits a page that has objectionable content, that page will be blocked, as well as not having to update these URL filters and this URL database. We also were looking at better reporting. Our current system does not do a very good job of reporting or do a very good job of automating those reports. So we were looking at reports that would, or a system that would send daily reports, automated reports, not just to the IT department, but also the building principal. So they can also see what kind of traffic, internet traffic, is going on in their building. And we can parse this out by building. So Marriott Forest Glen doesn't have to look at Churchill's internet traffic. They should only look at Forest Glen's, as well as a report that would show any sites that were attempted to be accessed but were blocked. And this would all be by user. So not only would you see the site, you'd see the user that tried to attempt or attempted to get to that site or didn't actually get to that site. And these are all drill-down reports. So aside from seeing the domain they hit, like Facebook.com, you could drill down into each individual page and see what they do as well. So it's fairly comprehensive, it's fairly easy to use for our principals, and it also gives us a partner in being able to work with this. The other thing that we identified was redundancy and backup, which we didn't have a very good system in place for that. So this system has two servers, one that will handle the database load and one that will handle the logging. And those logs will also be backed up. So things like configuration, internet history searches, internet history would also be backed up to a separate server. So these were the priorities we were looking at. And
can I interrupt you one more time? Sure. Those were your priorities. Can you tell me why the white listing wasn't a priority?
I was going to talk about that later.
Okay.
I can address it, but it really doesn't have anything to do with what we choose.
Our priorities.
If
okay.
If we had a white list, we could just stay with what we have now.
Okay. All right.
Any one of these would do that.
We'll talk.
The Smoothwall is the product we landed on. For a couple of reasons. First of all, it met the criteria I just talked about. It's a widely used product. It's used in over 65 countries. They've been around since 2001 doing just this. They also have a growing presence here in Illinois. So West Chicago is going to be going online with that tomorrow, as a matter of fact, with this product. So it gives us a partner that's local that we can also share experiences with and work with. It's also a full UTM that has that capability, and a UTM is a unified threat manager. So right now we have a content filter, or we will, plus a firewall on the back end that gives us dual protection. We can layer this on to also do things like port blocking and all of that sort of thing, and just the general firewall responsibilities. So we can eventually eliminate that other box. So it kind of streamlines and creates some efficiencies. So the cost is a three-year investment. It's $33,000 over that 3 years. The other nice factor here is they've given us a written money-back guarantee that is good until the end of December. So since this was such a compressed timeline, and we only had so much time to really look at these different products, it'll give us that much more time to further evaluate this product as well as others. So if we find this product isn't cutting it for us, we can still make a change, and we'd still be able to get our money back. This would be a one-time payment from the 2014-2015 budget. It is budgeted for. And in order to expedite this process, it's also going to go to discussion for the full board plus action. So a timeline, hopefully, if the board approves, would be to implement this maybe even before the 4th of July break. At the very latest, it would be after 4th of July. We just have to find a good period of time where we can have some downtime to be able to get it done.
Mike, have you thought about, this will be weird, but UAT testing, user acceptance testing, when it's rolled out in, let's just say, July 4th, mm-hmm. you give people access to it or something like that, and you say, you go in and you try to get something naughty.
Right.
Maybe it's board members, maybe it's admin, or...
And you're welcome to.
Or something.
I'm not interested.
You want to say that one more time? That was Eric and Nelson.
I mean, just to try to, try to break it.
And we won't do that, but we have a limited amount of people available to us to do that over the summer.
Yeah.
And in order to get this implemented and configured and really up and running so it works, come the first day of school, we wanted to get it done sooner than later. And unfortunately, given the timeline, as students come in, that's when we'll really find out how effective it is. But yes, we will definitely test it and bang on it as much as we can to see if we can break it.
Well, maybe another piece to that, too, is the fact that we have some local Howard County mm-hmm. districts that you can, I'm sure you've been in touch with these people anyway, and other, I know you talked to other local tech professionals, too, but that they pressure tested this and can give us some immediate feedback on their first 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the number I saw was 40% of schools in the UK use this product, and it's been in place for almost 14 years now, so I'm fairly confident it's going to do what it says it's going to do. Any other questions?
Mike, did you talk to people at these other locations?
This is a handful of school districts that I know use it, but no, I did not talk to all of them.
But you did talk to a couple?
Yes, you talked.
Okay, and they're happy with it? They have
just
no problem?
Just implementing it tomorrow.
Okay.
But their process of choosing it, was that similar to ours in terms of what the needs were?
Yeah. I did do another survey of DuPage County tech directors just to see what they use as a content filter. And really, it's kind of all over the map as far as what they're using. And a couple of these others are very good. Secret Filter is a very good filter. It's commonly used and has the same type of algorithm, their own proprietary algorithm. But the fact that we can get a feedback guarantee from Zoom Wall, as well as the fact that they have an independent service for so long, mm-hmm. is really a tipping point for us.
Mike, one of these was one that one of our community members had talked about. I think it was Securely.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Securely, from what I can gather through the demo, was really developed to support Google. Google Docs, which we do implement and are going to use at Hadley. Mm-hmm. However, that's really the only thing that they had in mind. I mean, there are a lot of other features that are in development, but things like being able to connect to our Active Directory, which is what we use to manage all of our student and staff accounts, that wasn't in place yet. So the reporting features that we were looking for just weren't in place yet. So there were several features that were priorities to us that they just at this point don't offer.
Okay. Because I just want to be clear about that. I mean, I'm glad that you included them because that was an interest of community member. I know you spoke with her, but if they're not providing the basic of what we need, then We had to turn them aside, right?
So, Mike, you said it not only blocks URL, but it has algorithms to capture content. Right. You can go into Facebook, like you said. You know, our kids should be doing that anyways, but
a blog might be a better.
Okay, a blog.
Or a forum.
And it's screen scraping that data to pull content.
It's reading that page, and it's looking for content in that page that would be objectionable.
Okay.
And the context that it's used in. So if you were to do a search on breast cancer,
yeah.
Well, it's probably going to let that through as a legitimate search, you know. But if you were just searching for breasts,
yeah.
It would block that based on the context which it's used within the page.
And the reporting that they're going to have, two questions here, is the reporting you said we can have, it's probably going to be a frequency thing, a daily or a weekly or something like that.
Right.
Does it include a RAG rating on things that were hit, the red, amber, green rating that says, here's your report, here's 10 reds that maybe somebody should look at because these IDs hit breast instead of breast cancer,
right.
Or
those are more than likely the sites of pages that were blocked.
Yeah.
And those I would see as a top 10 list.
Okay.
I'd probably get those farther than that, but what principles and we're actually going to take the time to look at would be those top 10 on a daily basis. And when we first implement this, I prefer to have those automated reports go out to everybody every day. And then we can kind of evaluate as we go through the evaluation process with this system, whether it's every day, every week, a couple times a month, you know, whatever they're more comfortable with. Just so we have a better handle on, well, is it really blocking what we want, and are students going where they really should be going on the internet?
Yeah. You know, we could talk about that as a board, but again, from an administration, from a reporting, the temperature on this is so high that the controls that we have in towards the reviewing those reports.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that we probably want to publish, you know, and the frequency we're going to do it weekly or whatever, and just review.
I say initially it'll be daily.
Yeah.
So we get an executive report every day from the current firewall, which will show top 10 users, top 10 hits, top 10 sites accessed, that sort of thing. But then I have to go back into the logs and drill in deeper. Where with these reports that we're going to get, we're going to give you the same type of report, just a little bit more detailed or a little bit more expansive rather than your top 10. And then you can drill down within those reports. So if I wanted to look at one student or one even staff member's access to the internet, I can drill down into their use and also the exact pages that they view.
Okay.
It can be very time consuming too.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, we've got 3,600 students here. So if we had to go through every student's individual internet history on a daily basis, we'd need a whole other staff.
That's why I'm so in that report, if there's a... The reporting, it's going to bubble up.
Oh, yeah.
Warnings.
It will sort based on that, whether it's internet traffic, how much data has been downloaded, how many sites, how much time.
Yeah.
Very similar to the reports we get now when we do polling. So you can sort it based on those criteria.
Right.
And then again, you can drill in by user and see exactly what you want.
Yeah, in the interest of time, I know you're going to present this to the full board.
And
so maybe the question around the whitelisting can be discussed.
Please.
At that level.
Okay.
Because then you can give us more detail around that. That's another kind of hot issue. And from what you talked about, you're addressing that.
From a technical standpoint, any one of them would do that.
Yeah.
It's a very simplified way to do that.
Right.
So this is a little bit more advanced. This is a little bit more...
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
And the final order of business that we have this evening will be the emergency expenditure of funds for the Abraham Lincoln HVAC chiller. I would attach a brief board report in terms of what's actually occurring at Churchill and Lincoln, and then we also have a resolution that will be presented to the board again for discussion and action. I think Paul indicated in a superintendent's update that the chiller at Lincoln, the final backup unit at Lincoln, went out the day school ended, so June 10th, and we have been limping along since then without any air in the building. And since we have such major construction going on anyways, it doesn't really matter. But I wanted to let you know that we've discussed this with our attorneys and engineers. This is going to be considered, or is considered, in the emergency expenditures. We are not going to take it out for the full bid process, but we are going to take it out for competitive bidding, and that's what our engineers are working on now. When we're ready to bring this back to you in hopefully a couple of very short weeks, we'll have a recommendation for you for the equipment as well as the installer of the equipment. The very preliminary price estimates that I have from our engineers will be approximately $27,000 for the piece of equipment and $15,000 for the labor involved in the installation, which is crane rental and the actual installation.
How are we gonna approve that if this is our last one till
August? So you're going to, what we're asking for is your approval to allow us to spend up to this amount of money.
Up, and that's what's included in the attached resolution.
Okay.
It's up to $50,000. We believe it will come in something under that, but we wanted to be able to move this forward. Our biggest concern, if we were to follow the normal three-step processes and everything else that we typically do, it wouldn't be installed until late September. And that would be, could be a serious safety and health concern to kids, the students, and staff. As it is now, if we do this expedited process, we're expecting installation to be completed about August 15th, which is essentially when staff is allowed to re-enter the building.
Basically, it's already pretty tight as it is.
It is very tight. The biggest thing we need to do now is get our competitive pricing out there so we can bring you back a recommendation in terms of who we would actually recommend, which manufacturer we recommend to purchase the equipment from so we can get out there and purchase it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we expect it to be delivered by about the second week of August.
It says here, too, that you're looking to get on at least three price quotes.
We're
which
looking,
will give us some flexibility.
Yeah, we're looking to get four or five price quotes, but a minimum of three for both the equipment as well as the installer that would do the actual installation.
In every step of the way, board will be informed. Every step of the way. Once we get the quotes, those will be turned around to you ASAP.
Immediately. So as soon as I get them in, as soon as the engineer gets them in, he has a chance to review them and provide me with a recommendation. I'll make sure that I forward the information on to Paul, and then he'll send it along to the board for review. But
it's
as you
probably
know,
getting pretty hot in that building.
I can't imagine. Like today?
Yeah.
There's a lot of glass in it, like too, with the hallways that connect the wings and so forth. So there's.
Is this going to affect any of the cleaning in the building and the kind of products you use? Or?
You know, we're really not cleaning that building right now. We're going to wait until we get into like the first week of August because of all the construction going on. You're going to have intermittent power outages due to the construction itself. So. We're not really doing a lot of cleaning there. We're spreading our people around to the other buildings. And also, this first couple of weeks after school ends, we're on a minimal staff anyway. So the staff, a lot of our guys, a lot of our custodians take their vacations. So there are very few people in that building. And we've also accommodated administration who typically work out of Lincoln during the summer months. We found them other spots within the district.
That was going to be my other question. How are the professional staff?
They're working and
other locations.
Their teammates, you know, other principals, APs are accommodating them throughout the building. We also offer them space here if they need to work out of this building. So they're out of there. We're working hard to move this recommendation forward. And then, as you know, there's significant construction going on in that building this summer. So if you have any questions on this recommendation.
No, this will fix all the air conditioning issues at Lake Event. It's a little
fast. This is a 20-year investment that you have in front of you.
Yeah, no problem with this point. No.
Yeah.
I may run.
Good catch.
If the maintenance schedule will allow us to get to the 20-year mark?
I would hope so. And, you know, we maintain all of our large equipment, our chillers, our HVAC units, our boilers, they're all maintained on a regular basis. And, you know, you sent me an email over the weekend and you asked for sort of that maintenance program that we have in place. I've asked that Dave Scarmato, our Director of Buildings and Ground, he's going to put together a formal presentation for you for, I believe, the first meeting in August.
That's right. I guess what I was looking for, I know you have that spreadsheet in terms of when things happen.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that both the site maintenance schedule and the equipment maintenance schedule end up on that spreadsheet.
Those items are already included in there for, and, you know, we've gone out and created an agent obsolescence, a capital projects plan or a capital equipment plan, and we have boilers, HVAC. Pretty much anything under the sun, we've tried to incorporate that, and it takes us out for a number of years.
Well, that's what roofs are on and our
correct.
Parking lots, all that. I remember we had talked about that, and when you started here and built that agent obsolescence plan, so we would have that 10, 20-year look.
That's exactly right. It started, you and I came out at about the same time, 7 years ago.
Right, I remember that, yep.
So, any other questions on the Lincoln Chiller?
Just a small one. Is there anything in that building that's going to be affected all summer? I'm talking about equipment, not people. Like musical instruments or other things that are temperature sensitive if the building's without air and it's closed up all summer?
Good question. I would think that would not be the case.
Okay.
We still have air flowing through the building. We just don't have air conditioning in there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we always have to be concerned about is the lack of ventilation, excess humidity, creates mold problems and things of that nature. Our Director of Buildings and Grounds will be monitoring that on an as-needed basis.
Mm-hmm. That might be a good question for Linda and the music teacher.
Mm-hmm. Strings?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've kept strings there, though.
Oh.
I don't even know if they keep instruments.
I may have seen some instruments.
I know they have a guitar program. Mm-hmm. But those are traveling. Those guitars move through all the schools, so they may have been moved out already. But it's a great question.
Or if there's curtains or carpets, you guys know that.
Sure. That's a good question.
Okay. So I'll make sure Dave is aware of it.
So Dave's going to give us the schedules in a presentation for both.
We plan on I want Dave to do the presentation. He's the Director of Buildings and Grounds. I think it would be a great project for him to develop, and it would be one of the first times he's presented to this board in the 2 years that he's been here. So my plans are that I've spoken to him. This is sort of a large equipment audit, capital projects, where we plan on going over the next several years. And then also, I don't want him to rush through creating a large equipment maintenance schedule or anything like that. I want him to be able to take his time and develop something nicely for presentation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
He is aware of it. He knows the expectations in terms of when we'll be bringing this to the Finance Committee, and I'm sure it'll be a great presentation. So that's all I have for this evening. We are going to start again about 7:15. Any other questions I might be able to answer at this time? I know this evening you have the amended budget that will be moving for adoption, as I need to get that filed before the end of the month, which is really the end of this week. And then you're also going to be looking at the tentative budget for 14-15. There's authorization for us to post that budget publicly at this time. And then we'll be doing a series of updates throughout the summer, and we'll be bringing you the final tentative budget for 14-15. We're proposing that it be completed at the first board meeting in August. So that's all I have for this evening.
Any board questions, concerns?
Bob, can we put those two things on the action items for the agenda?
Yeah, Drew has asked that above other, we put in an action item, sort of an action item spreadsheet, and I think that would be a good way for us to make sure that questions that the board ask of us, that we respond appropriately. So we'll be maintaining that on an ongoing basis. So is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and right now I see the three things, the site maintenance schedule, the equipment maintenance schedule. You did provide me with the percentage of federal and state fundings for the breakfast program. Thank you for
That's the entire food service program. That's just a, let's be specific. That was for the entire food service program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other one, maybe we leave that on there. The action item is the updated construction schedule.
Yes, that's going to be provided at the first finance meeting and board meeting of every month. We okay. have it on as a discussion item or as a presentation item. Jack will be here to provide construction updates both from a timeline perspective and a dollar perspective, okay. how we're tracking as opposed to the budget, and we plan on doing that at the first meeting of each month.
I think that's when we could put on the action item, just so we can track it. We can say we've done that.
Just so that you know, during the month of July, we had a construction meeting today. I've already asked that Jack begin putting together that document so that by the second week of July, you'll have something in your hands to give you some idea in terms of where we're at, budget and timeline.
Okay.
Patrick also requested that, or suggested, and we thought it was a really good suggestion, was an under construction on our website. Mm-hmm. We have that in development. Julie and Ken have been working on that piece.
Well, it's up.
Oh, is it up?
It's up.
All right, wow. See? You ask, we're spinning around here, baby.
Spinning.
On the BOD website? Or
can we,
website?
Mike, could you go to it on our... Can we show it up here real quick?
We had that up already.
Yeah, it was there. It's a little something-something.
So
Yeah. You just made the picture bigger.
Cool.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's very highlighted with a construction cone and...
You know, Paul, we probably ought to mention two for this link. And six board members that are agreeing to this decision
yes.
for us to move forward.
This is on the district website?
For continuity's sake on the recording, we're waiting for the smart board to rev up so we can look at the website.
It's green.
Yeah.
Maybe that's down for the summer.
Maybe. Wait. I see it. I don't know where it
came. Excellent.
And we responded to Paul last week.
There
we go. Oh, nice.
Yeah, great.
That looks like my backyard, really.
Little money.
Yeah, I can see.
Oh, look at that. I like that. Is that part of the demolition?
That's a portable relocation.
Okay.
So there's underneath it, there's a date, and then
that's Ben Franklin right there.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then it links
Churchill.
To the facilities page that has deeper information about this project, and then just facilities in general.
Very cool.
So they will cross the link.
Can we put, Julie? Can we put a direct link of that construction site, maybe even the first picture or something like that on our blast
on the email
blast.
Oh yeah.
So they can link, click here to see progress. Boom, and it goes right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we should announce this tonight too for whomever comes to the meeting, public, and then it can be on the regular board meeting too if they don't listen to finance. It's great. Yeah.
Very nice.
Nice.
Very nice.
Good.
I like this.
Kudos,
Julie. Yeah. Nice job. Good turnaround time,
it'll
too.
Nice. It'll be interesting to see if people check the website during the summertime to actually look at it. So
I love it.
Yeah.
We're good with that. And then we had a request on assistant principal repurposing. Board, I have for you just two documents. that I'm hopeful will continue to clarify. Any time with a $52 million budget, there's repurposing of funds. This is one example of that. So I gave you the background on May 28th, 2013, when Ann was sitting in my seat. Board approved administration plans to reinstate full-time assistant principals. Two assistant principals have served four buildings since the fall of 2010. It's a cost-neutral plan, a plan that was approved by the board. The first position was paid through the repurposing of a central service administrator, assistant director for student support services, salary benefits at $122. The second position was a reallocation of $100,000 from the Human Resources Department budget that paid for, in case there were large class sizes, support individual student needs and others. We repurposed that funding to offset those costs in the 2013-2014. The 2014-2015, we continued the repurposing of the Central Services Administrator. Those funds continue to pay for it. The second assistant principal was paid through what I'd been talking about, were teacher specialization at Forest Glen and Ben Franklin. Those two teachers were given for 1 year. It was a second grade and a third grade position at Franklin. It was about $146,000 salaries and benefits that were repurposed to offset the second assistant principal. This has been a cost-neutral program for the entire time. It will continue to be that. Here is the board report for the Forest Glen and Ben Franklin teachers when they were approved for that 1 year support, and we moved and repurposed it for this.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, Dean.
Oh, this is kind of above and beyond. This is very, very thorough. Thank you very much for this. Is this something that you could include in your superintendent's reports for the entire board?
Yeah. I'll put it in my weekly update for every. Oh, you want it in my superintendent report for tonight?
Here, so it's on the. So your narrative will be on the public record.
Yep, this one's public record as well.
Perfect. Yeah, because I just wanted to. I know this has been kind of this loop in terms of this information. This answers, at least in my mind, this answers the question. So I'm satisfied with this answer, and I think this kind of closes that loop.
Okay, good. Other board members? Any?
No, it's just helpful. I mean, you already talked us through this, and you know, I think the other piece of this is, you know, once the board the budget is approved, and you see, you know, the need, academic need, as we agreed, the board agreed to last year, then it's certainly up to you to figure out how to use the funds to make that happen without adding additional cost, which you have not, and. You know, and it aligned back to our sections and class sizes, and you know, all that got you know, was addressed as well and taken into consideration. So,
and ultimately, I can't bring to the board right. A budget that is not balanced. The board sets the amount for this year. It's roughly, I'm using rough numbers, $52 million. I can't exceed that. The board chose to exceed that by borrowing $7 million and using $7 million. But as a superintendent, I have to give you a balanced budget from staffing, benefits, whatever, from the operation side of the house. I have to bring you a balanced budget every year. I will always bring you a balanced budget every year. Within that, as Erica said, there is repurposing that occurs every year on many different fronts that ensures that we pay for what we believe are the priorities. Good example of that are the coaches. We had to repurpose some department monies because we felt like the coaches were critical to the moves that we're making on the instructional side of the house.
Right.
So hopefully that that satisfies, and I can, I'll bring it up in superintendent report this evening.
This is really, really good. You really, again, went beyond.
Okay.
Above and beyond. So.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. This will be the first finance committee meeting. But we are going to start at 7:15 with the amended budget approval and public hearing. Thanks.
Good deal.